I think roller derby is a hopeful thing.
He earned enough money from selling plants that he paid off the mortgage on his house.
People always want to know, is that a lie or is that the truth?
I completely disassembled this Triumph TR6.
I wished I could have been a professional woman soccer player.
I'm Martha Woodruff, and this is The Spark, an exploration of interesting people doing interesting things. This week and next week on The Spark, we're doing a little vicarious traveling to Cuba. Waynesboro's Peter Van Acker retired a couple of years ago. Since then, Peter says, he and his wife Susan have been doing what retirees do, volunteering and, in their case, traveling all over the world. When did Cuba get on your radar, first as a place you wanted to go and then as a place you were going?
Well, a friend of mine who's a very accomplished birder sponsored some trips back in, like 07, 09, back in that time period. And we just couldn't work out the logistics.
Cuba.
Yes, because they do have a number of endemic species that are only seen on Cuba.
And how did that work out politically? How are you allowed in?
You can travel, even during the embargo, you can travel to Cuba, and that's how we traveled now, through a cultural or educational visa. And then when the Obama administration, made the announcement that we're going to normalize, we thought that it would be nice to see the country before the change really swept in.
Before it got too Americanized?
Yeah. Americanization is kind of a mixed blessing to people. There are obvious economic benefits, and there are cultural benefits as well. But there's a downside to both of those things as well. So we wanted not to be surrounded by Americans when we got there.
Why Cuba?
Well, it just seemed like the time to go. That from the outside, there was still a lot going on from revolutionary Cuba, but they seemed more ready to bring in outsiders and visitors. The tour group was Rhodes Scholar.
Oh, clever.
Yeah. And it was really well done. It was a small group, I think it was 16 of us and two guides. There was a guide, Cuban-American, who met us in Miami and flew with us on the charter. And then there was a state employee tourist guide from Cuba who met us at the airport and went with us all the way around the island. And then in addition, we went to a cemetery, we went to an art museum, we went to tours of towns, and there would be a local guide who would know specifically more about that area we were visiting. Our first morning, we flew in early, landed, toured around a little bit, got to the hotel, got our feet on the ground. The next morning, we were met by a University of Havana instructor who, in 45 minutes to an hour, took us from 1492, when Columbus claimed Cuba, up until 2016. And he did it through music. He talked about how the Europeans came and their effect on the culture, then the influx of Africans who were enslaved and brought to Cuba. There were about 10,000 Africans a year for 10 or 15 years, an incredible number of Africans that were brought to Cuba. The endemic Cuban people were all extirpated. They all died. There's some remnants of they find through archaeology, and there must be some blood in there, but there is no endemic Cuban community anymore. That they were destroyed, disease, enslavement, on and on and on. But anyway, he took us through the entire culture, the blending of those cultures through music. He played, he sang, and talked about things. It was really a fascinating presentation and an interesting moment to learn about Cuba.
You strike me, you and your wife, as kind of yee-haw people, let's go. Did you just say what's going to happen happens, or did you have expectations of what you'd learn or what it'd be like?
Well, With tour guides, there's a plus and a minus. You're not going to have to worry about the details of things, but you're going to be locked into someone else's agenda. Our expectations were that we would get an opportunity to see Cuba as it is, and through interactions with local people, have a chance to learn a little bit about Cuban life as it is now and what they hope will come in the future.
Okay. What'd you learn? You walked into that.
Yeah. It's a very, very interesting place. The Cuban people seem to be, you know, a happy and content people. They do not appear to be an oppressed population. They are very, very hopeful, almost to a person. Everybody you spoke to was happy about the U.S. and Cuba being able to open up a positive relationship, a person-to-person kind of relationship, that the, you know, governments would get out of that and let the people have interactions back and forth. It is a relatively crime-free area. I was up late at night, early in the morning, in the middle of the day. I walked on my own by myself late at night.
In Havana.
Anywhere. You could go.
But big, in the city.
Yes. And people were only helpful. They either left you alone or, you know, asked, can I help? What are you doing? And when they find out you're from the U.S., they, you know, generally want to talk a little bit. There is a ration system. We were told by our tour guide, the woman who works for the Cuban government, that in the Constitution, there's only one party allowed. That's the Communist Party. You know, you take that for what it's worth. Everybody gets a ration card, and that ration card is good at one neighborhood store close to your home. And they're, you know, produce and rum is part of the ration, you know, just the normal stuff in a grocery store, but it's not prepackaged. It's all pretty much a, kind of a farmer's market feel to it.
You're buying local.
Yes, exactly. And the government also sets wages. And one of the things we heard was there are problems because, for instance, a doctor, their wage, oftentimes a bartender or a maid working in the tourist industry can make more just because they're around rich people who have money and tip. So they recognize that there's some structural problems that they have. I don't know what they're doing about it, but that was a, you know, point of discussion.
What did people ask you? What questions did Cubans have?
Pretty much people would say, hello, where are you from? And then talk about a relative in the United States. They're attuned to American politics and have opinions about candidates. You can imagine that they view people who seem like they're not in favor of Latin American influence in the United States positively. They're aware of that. So they are hoping the bonds between America and Cuba will grow.
Next week, part two of Peter Van Acker's excellent Cuban adventure. There are some pictures on the Spark page at WMRA.org.